Everybody, I'm one of your hosts, Vincent Ackert of the Moss Truck Outlaws West podcast. Join alongside my other host, Phil Vicinanza, and boy, does it feel good to be back. Episode number 44. Lots of stuff is happening on the West Coast with Moss Trucks right now, and we're going to learn a little bit about that sooner or later. But Phil, who do we have on tonight?
Well, we always put in the title, but thanks for joining us here tonight. Always good to be here as the action picks up all across the country, especially here on the West Coast. It's great to see everybody getting back out there, getting some events put together, and very fitting to have one of those guys on here. And I thought it was very fitting when we did our test with him. He doesn't want to be known as a promoter. He wants to be a live event presenter, and he's very well spoken. And from being at his events in the past, I know he runs a very tight ship and a very fun ship as well. So it's great to have him on here. We're going to learn a lot about him. I know a lot of his team and family is joining us here live. So great to have you guys here as we kick things off here tonight with the main man behind the Monster Truck Insanity Tour and Live a Little Productions, Skylar Nybar.
Skylar, it's awesome to have you on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Definitely going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, let's waste no time. I mean, there's a lot of people wanting to know your story and the story behind Live a Little Productions and the Moss Truck Insanity Tour. So let's start it off. How did you get started in motorsports?
Great question. Thanks for asking. So it all, honestly, it dates back to the year I was born, which sounds ridiculous, but that's the honest to goodness truth. My old man built our very first tractor pulling truck the year that I was born. He actually sold his Sportster Harley to get up enough money to go out to Kansas and buy this, at least the chassis part of it, or what was somewhat of a chassis. Brought it back, built the truck, and that's where it all started. And growing up over the years, it was a If my grades weren't up, if I was getting in trouble, I wasn't driving the pulling truck, and that's all there was to it. So my dad and mom held me to that. And actually, when I was 14, I took over driving duties on our first pulling truck. It's called Shake and Break. It's an old blue and white 62 Ford unibody. Obviously, been around forever. A lot of people know it. And then that kind of evolved into when I turned 18. The tractor pulling organization that we were a part of put me in as president of their club at 18 years old. And I mean, that was jumping in head first, no clue really what to do. Knew I loved the sport, but didn't really know much beyond that. And I actually ended up doing that for about 12 years. And then back in 2013, resigned from those responsibilities. And kind of saw the bigger picture. I wanted to go out further. I wanted to expand. I wanted to bring in the monster truck side, the freestyle motocross, and all those good things. And so walked away from that one and started this company at the end of 13 and started just a couple kind of test the water shows in 2014. And then in 15, we lined up an entire schedule. And off we went from there. And as they say, the rest is history. And since then, obviously, we've grown to what we are now and covering the big footprint that we are covering, that's about to get a whole lot bigger too. But speaking of monster trucks, generally, how we got the Monster Truck Insanity Tour started, this is a great story that I love to tell. Scott Heaton, professional announcer, everybody knows him, everybody loves him, been a very good friend of mine. Back in Sublimity, Oregon, everybody knows about the Sublimity Harvest Fest that does the truck pulls and the monster trucks together. Big party weekend. Everybody goes to have a good time. We've been over there pulling for years and years, and that's how I met Scott and started that relationship. And we decided in 2015 that we were going to do this Insanity Tour. So I talked to Scott. I honestly had no idea. I don't know a lot of monster truck history. I was a truck puller, okay? And as truck pullers, we all kind of felt that monster trucks stole our thunder. We brought monster trucks in to help us get going, and then monster trucks completely overrun truck pulling, and that's how it is, and that's how it started, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we were all a little sour about that, just because our pride is being truck pullers, but no big deal. And so anyway, I talked to Scott Heaton. I says, man, we're going to do this tour. I have no clue where to start. I don't know how this entire process works. We went from competitor sport, being truck and tractor pulling, to more of a, you know, a hired entertainer, a talent sport like monster trucks. And it was funny because Scott told me, he's like, well, I'm going to talk to my friend Jeff, and I'll have him get a hold of you. And I'm like, cool, have Jeff call me. He says, Jeff owns a monster truck, yada, yada. All right, cool. So he was talking about Jeff Boehner. So Jeff Boehner calls me up one day out of the blue. I don't know who Jeff Boehner is. He started explaining his truck and stuff, and I remember seeing it in Sublimity, but I didn't know Jeff beyond that. And funny thing, Jeff says, hey, I want to help you get this deal going. I can help you line up trucks. And he's like, the first guy I'd really like to hook you up with is my buddy Craig. Craig has a monster truck. He's owned and he's driven a bunch of monster trucks. He's very good at what he does. And I'm like, cool, let's sign up Craig. I didn't know who Craig was. It was Craig Christensen, obviously. And so he got us hooked up with that. And the first show, actually, Boehner and Craig were both in that very first show that we ever did up in Washington. And Kenny Eggleston, our announcer, he had never done a monster truck show. We didn't have a lot of experience, but we had Scott Anderson on our team, who was the best resource we could have ever asked for right out of the gate, because he knew the process. He knew how things worked. And so Scott came on the road with us, and we set everything up, and the Monster Truck Insanity Tour was born after that. And over the years, it's just grown and grown, and to the point that it is now. So cool story. We started out in a really neat way.
So before we get into more of the promoting side, take us back. Did you have any like family history with racing or tractor pulling?
So just with tractor pulling. When my dad started that very first one, or built the very first pulling truck, that's what got me into motorsports, period. I grew up on a big farm in southern Idaho, and we were all about engines and motorcycles and four wheelers and doing things like that on the farm. And the pulling truck was that thing that we loved the most. You know, that was our prized possession, was the pulling truck. And we campaigned that, and we still campaign that truck. It's actually sitting out behind the house in the race trailer now. And then in 2007, I purchased the Cheap Shot truck, which is now Cheap Shot Reloaded. And we've been campaigning that truck ever since as well. So it's a two truck team now, but growing up on the farm and my dad building that first truck, that's how this whole thing got started.
Yeah, and a lot of people really got going with truck pulls and in monster trucks. And I know that's definitely not where you saw yourself so many years later, but you know, for maybe an outsider, what's the biggest difference from the truck pulls to a monster truck, like a lot of the people that are, you know, following along here?
Yeah, absolutely. So tractor pulls are very much a competitor sport. Demo derbies, motocross races, things like that, where, you know, you build your rig up to what you think is going to beat the next guy's rig, plain and simple. Tractor pulling is a very extremely fast-paced sport for 20 seconds at a time. That's how I like to explain it. So you got a 300-foot track, you get one shot out of the night, and that's it. And it's truly for bragging rights, in that it has a graduated payout scale, and that's how you, if you're lucky, You might make a couple bucks on it. Truck pulling is not a it's hard to do to make a living, I guess, to put it lightly, especially out here in the West. You can't do truck pulling full time and expect to make a living at it unless you have, you know, some major sponsors or something. But monster trucks on the other side of that coin are hired entertainer sports. You know, these guys are professionals. They love what they do. They love going out and entertaining people, and everybody knows the routine. You know, it is what it is. And these guys go out and we say, and I don't want to discount this from our drivers, we call them hired entertainers, but these guys are true competitors. I mean, I have seen some truck pulling guys go nose to nose over who beat who and stuff. It doesn't even hold a candle to monster truck guys. I mean, these guys are serious. They're hardcore competitors. They love the sport. They love the thrill. And they just love going out and putting a smile on people's faces. And that's what we love about monster trucks too. It's about the kids. It's about the family. They're creating that entire environment, you know, keeping everybody, intrigued and as people say, on the edge of their seat, the entire duration, where truck pulling is a little more laid back. Bring the competitors in, let the old boys throw down on the dirt. Both sports, I love both sports. They're both a lot of fun. Just one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize how many similarities there are, especially when you're going up and down the road. I mean, it's a lot of labor of love to be involved in motorsports. How far did you guys travel with the truck and tractor pulls, at least? Did you just mainly stick to West Coast, or you were venturing pretty far out?
So we started just mostly West Coast, honestly, mostly just in the Rocky Mountain regions. We're based in Eastern Idaho, and we would run from, you know, Alberta, excuse me, down to, you know, Vegas area. And then after we got our second truck, the two-wheel drive, the Cheap Shot truck, we wanted to go out and campaign it and kind of show the country that was tractor pulling in the Western United States, and two, that we could try to be competitive. And so we actually went out to the Midwest. We took it out to the Midwest, 2 different years, ran with some great, great people out there. The Nelson family, from out in Illinois, they kind of took us under their wing. They have a pile of the super modified two-wheel drive trucks, which is what Cheap Shot is. And we went out and had a ball, and it was so crazy. We went out during fair season, and we were hitting a different pole every single night, you know, within 50, 60 miles of each other, which is crazy because we don't have that out here in the West. And that year, one of those years anyway, we actually pulled the two-wheel drive truck in every single U.S. time zone. So that was a really cool feat. I don't know that anybody else has done. I know nobody has done it since we did. I don't know if anybody had done it prior, but we put on some miles that year, and just in the name of fun, go out, show off, see what we could do, see where we ranked against the best in the country, and we had a ball doing it.
And now's the perfect time. Make sure you guys like and share this video. Make sure you share it all across Facebook so everybody can jump in here and hear Skyler tell his story live. Want to make sure everybody get an opportunity to listen, and make sure if you have a question or comment for Skyler, leave them in the comment section. We'll get to them as the episode progresses. Now, Vincent, I think you had a great question about that pulling truck, specifically the Cheap Shot.
Yeah, well, we're on the topic of the pulling truck. I mean, Cheap Shot or Cheap Shot Reloaded, how'd you come up with that name?
So Cheap Shot was actually the name that was on the truck when I bought it. And I'll be completely honest with you, I don't know where he came up with the name. The gentleman's name was Wally Kitchen, huge name in pulling for a lot of years, way back in the old TNT days, Red Man days and stuff. I mean, he was one of the top trucks on the circuit. So I actually don't know where that name completely came from. The Shake and Break name, but you know, our four-wheel drive truck that my sister campaigns now, that was, I don't know. I think my dad just had enough beers that night, and that was probably how he felt as he left the shop that night. So that's where that name came from, I'm sure. But the Cheap Shot name, I don't know. I'll definitely have to get a hold of him and ask him where that came from.
So now let's get into the promoter side of things. You know, getting started, what were the challenges that you faced on the way?
You know, a lot, to put it lightly. We had a very, very difficult first 2 years in the business. And a lot of it was we thought that we were, you know, the top dogs in truck and tractor pulling, and we were going to go turn tractor pulling in the Western U.S. into what monster trucks are, or what we thought truck and tractor pulling could be anyway. And that was the wrong attitude. That was a completely wrong approach. And we really got put in our places as to what we were capable of doing for one, and what was the right, you know, the right move to make as far as more tractor pulls, less tractor pulls, more monster trucks. And we went with tractor pulls because it was the easy route. You know, that was the easy route for sure. We knew the most about it. We knew the most people in the sport. So it was very challenging. We were swinging for the fences and we struck out on almost every single show that we did. And so those were lessons that we learned very, very quickly, very expensive lessons. But lessons nonetheless that we still actually think about to this day. And here's how things have flipped. You know, I think our first year out in 2015 with a full schedule, we were 30, 35 truck and tractor pulls, something like that, that we had scheduled. And we were like 12 monster truck shows. And now we do, I don't even know how many shows we have this year. I'm going to say 40 plus probably monster truck shows. And we have one truck pull right now. So not saying we don't love truck pulls. We love doing truck pulls. But we only do truck pulls for contracted shows, for county fairs or state fairs. Things like that. They don't fit into our business model near as well as we thought they were going to originally. So very valuable lessons, and we learned it the hard way, and the guys on the team, we all learned it together, and it was tragic at times, but the good part is we did learn it together, you know, and being able to go through all those things as a team and learn all those lessons is invaluable right now. We definitely have taken what we've learned and we've put it to play, and it works very well for us now.
Yeah. And it's a lot of growing pains, with anything, you really getting off with it. But one of those guys has been there right alongside you the whole way is your announcer, Kenny Eggleston. And first of all, he says, you're good looking, but a question about about Kenny. You know, he's a very dynamic personality. Where did you find him?
So I found him out. He was actually inside the dumpster out behind an Applebee's one night. Seriously. No, that's not true at all. Kenny has an incredible history as an announcer and as an MC and as just an all around good guy. Crazy good personality. We actually, it happened through truck pulling. We did a show down in Logan, Utah. I think this was back in 2011, 10, 11, 12, something like that. And we didn't have an announcer for the weekend. And so the local diesel shop down there, Moonlight Diesel, that was one of our sponsors, said, "Hey, we have this guy local. I think we should bring him in and give him a shot." Yeah, let's get him in here and give him a shot. And I mean, we weren't even halfway through the first show of Kenny announcing a truck pull. And mind you, Kenny was a rodeo announcer. He was a very, very successful rodeo announcer, did a lot of stuff with the Senior Pro Rodeo and the Senior Pro Finals. And he has stories, and I hope you guys can sit down with him and have a soup. But he has stories for days about how all that stuff started. You can go to his YouTube channel on Sagebrush Soul, and he has the list of vehicles. He has a video about the vehicles that he started in that are some of the most ridiculous rigs that we've ever seen. And Kenny loves him to death, and that's what we love about him. He's super unique and very creative as an artist. But anyway, after that first poll, we contacted him and said, "Hey, can you send us that guy's number? We think we have some more spots for him." And it just kind of snowballed. And then he actually was worked for the Cache County Sheriff's Department in Logan, Utah. And he retired in 2015. And he was literally the day that he retired, the next day we got on the road and headed to a show in Oregon. And he's stuck it out with us ever since. So I can't wait for you guys to meet him. He's a whole lot of fun. Super, super nice guy. One of my very, very best friends on the planet. And the guy can flat announce a show. Anything we throw at him, no matter what it is, what kind of show it is, if he doesn't know that type of show, he learns it. And it's like he never even misses a beat. So super nice guy. Hi, Kenny.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to seeing Kenny and Havasu next week. But I got to ask, what were some of the first monster truck teams you had in your shows?
That's a great question. The very first show that we ever did was, of course, Boehner and Craig. And then the Groff twins were there. And then we had two of Bill Payne's trucks. And then trying to think of as we went through that year, I know Boehner ran a lot of the shows with us. Craig also ran a lot of shows with us. Craig was only campaigning, I think, one truck at that time. And then we slowly just kind of started adding more. Oh, Sam Sturgis did shows with us right off the bat. Sam is such a cool dude. So we had him running with us on the tour. And then over the years, we've added in, you know, Paul Jensen, Mike Christensen's team. There's my wife and my baby right there. Oh, sorry. There's my that's my handy girl. Yeah, she loves making an appearance. She's already a superstar, I'll tell you that. But anyway, we brought in those guys. Obviously, Craig's got more trucks. Sam has continued to run with us over the years. Wally Turner and the Sniper is obviously a huge part of our tour that we do. And up till last year, my main man, Ron Duncombe, he was a huge part of the show, and not just in a truck, but outside a truck. That guy is something else. I hope he's tuned in and watching. I love you, man. But it just kind of evolved, and how we've gotten from the very first guys, you know, that were running with us, and as we've evolved over the years, we get this a lot, that people say we won't hire them, and I don't know if it's because they don't think that we think they're not good enough, or we just don't like their style, or whatever it is. It has nothing to do with that at all. What it has to do with is we hire the guys that are part of our family and part of our team, and the guys that understand how our shows work. A lot of veteran drivers that understand better than anybody the safety aspects of not only the monster trucks themselves, but the operation of the show. And so we've just evolved and brought in those guys that we love to have as part of our team, and the guys that we literally text and phone calls and stuff every single day, and we stay in touch throughout the week and make sure that things are going the right direction, see if anybody needs help. And that's landed us the team of drivers that run for us now, which in my opinion is the best in the country.
So not only do you guys have full-size monster trucks at your shows, but you also have the mini monsters. And we actually have a comment from Mike Minner from Warhead. Mike says, Skyler, Brittany, and his whole team run a full first-class operation. Shows are well-organized and just plain awesome. He shows so much love for the minis, whether it's advertising or just pumping them up during the show. Super blessed to run a full schedule on the Insanity Tour this year. So what's your thoughts on the mini monsters?
You know, first off, let me thank Mike for making that comment. And I added $50 to his check last weekend to make sure he did. So super cool, Mike. Thanks, man. Oh, that's not true. I appreciate the kind words, man. And we, as far as the minis go, what a great addition to any show. And I'll put this out there for any promoter that's listening. You can have them, just not on my dates. But these guys are awesome. Mike and Mason with the Warhead truck, and Eric and Corbin with High Risk. They both come all the way from Southern California. And I mean, right near the Mexico border every single weekend. They drive up, they come up, they run the hell out of their trucks. We love the boys. The boys drive so hard and they have so much fun, and we just enjoy having them, man. It's such a cool thing. And I'm going to say this now, and I've told them guys before, but I haven't told a lot of our big race truck drivers, but when a show is over, the majority of the comments and the emails and the social media stuff that we get back to us on our messages and whatnot is about the kids and the mini monsters. And then people love the big trucks, and we know they do. And then I'm not taking anything away from them, but people absolutely eat up these mini monsters. These guys run hard. They're so good with the crowd, and these kids crawl up out of the cabs of those trucks. And I mean, Mason, he's just a little fella, you know, and he gets up there and throws his hands up in the air, and people lose their minds over it. We had him last weekend at our show in Duchesne, Utah. And they're going to be in Havasu next weekend. And I don't know how many shows we have them on, but the overwhelming majority, they'll be running with us this year. We're super grateful to have those guys with us. So it's going to be a hell of a year with them on the tour.
Yeah, a lot of great comments coming in here. Here's one that comes in from the Monster Truck Insanity Tour page. It says, where'd you get those eyes? Jeez, shake and break, because he used to hop and jump enough to break every time. That's what Dad said once anyways. I don't think you wrote that, but
I don't think I did, but I only have one sister. So when it says Dad in there, I got a pretty good feeling where that came from. So welcome to the conversation, and stop using our social media pages for your advantage.
Make sure you're sharing the video if you're on the social media pages. But another comment came in here from Steven Anderson. And Steven says, Skyler is a grand national champion mini bike racer, among other great things.
Other great things, yeah, to put it lightly. So Steven Anderson is Andy. That's our DJ Andy, as we call him. He comes around and runs. He's our color commentary, to put it lightly. But he comes around and handles all the music responsibilities and the production side. And Andy is, I'm going to talk him up and then I'm going to bring him down for the comment that he made, because I know where he's headed with it. But he's done the biggest concert productions in the country. Garth Brooks, the big rock bands, anybody that you can think of, Andy has done the production for these guys, and it's awesome. The things that go on inside of his head, he thinks and speaks at a whole different level than the rest of us. So he's super fun to have with us, and we sure appreciate. He's actually a local guy here in Eastern Idaho, so we get to hang out all the time with Andy. He is doing an extreme ballet competition tonight, and he didn't say if he was doing the production or if he was actually in the ballet. We'll have to figure that out. He's probably got some pictures of his outfit, I would imagine. But I am a regional national champion mini bike racer, and we'll just leave it at that for now.
Also got a comment here from good old Dunk, Ron Dunkum. He says, best promoter in the biz. You got any good Ron Dunkum stories?
Oh, man. First off, thanks, Dunk. We love you, man. We sure miss you already. I have some Ron Dunkum stories, and I got to tell one of them. I got to tell one, and he knows which one it is, and it came from the Vegas show, Phil, and you probably weren't there when it happened. But to summarize, Dunk had he tripped. Let's say that he tripped at one of the casino bars and went down and caught himself right on the nose. Down on like the footrest part of the bar. And this was in 2019, I guess, when we did that. Was it 19? Yeah, when we did that show. And he was 18. I don't know. Phil knows better than I do. So anyway, he went down, and we seen him a little while later, and he was with one of our O'Reilly's reps, actually, that followed us around. O'Reilly's Auto Parts, one of our great corporate sponsors, been with us for many, many years. Those two come over to the other side of the casino where we're sitting, and Dunk's just got blood pouring down his whole face, and he's got a drink in his hand and not a care in the world. He didn't care that there was blood. He didn't care what had happened. I think what actually happened is he pulled his wallet out and his wallet fell, and he went down for it and come down on his nose there. But the guy is 100% comedy 100% of the time. I've always thought that if we could get a YouTube show or a TV show called Fishing with Dunk or Hunting with Dunk, and just have random people just spend a day with this guy out shooting guns and stuff, that it would be absolute TV comedy gold. And everybody that is listening to this right now can agree in the comments, I'm sure, that Dunk is one of the funniest people on this earth. I'll tell you that.
He has a lot of free time on his hands now, so I'm sure you can pitch that pilot for some fishing. But he also left a comment. He says, "You're also a professional clogger."
Yeah, that's that. I don't know where all those good things I just said. Can you guys believe that?
Yeah, he also said, "Easy, cowboy."
Easy. There, see, there you go. No, so that's where the old regional national champion comes in. That years and years ago, like 3 years ago, right? I'm looking at my wife. She's going, no, that's not right. Years ago when I was younger, I was a clogger. And it's so funny because I'm the last person looking at that you would ever think would do anything like that. And I won a regional championship somewhere, and I don't know how it even went. I qualified for a national championship or something. And so I just call myself a regional national champion, because in the motorsports industry, you can just throw out words like that and they're, oh yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. So that's what I am, a regional national champion.
Also want to give a quick shout out to one of our past guests, Terry Woodcock. Hope you're feeling better, man. And just keep Terry in your thoughts during this time. But Phil, what you got for us?
Terry's fine. He's good enough to be in the chat. So,
Terry is in the chat. Where is Terry?
I told you that. He's up in the. Anyways, Corey Clark's also here, the driver of American Soldier. So good to see Corey here on board. And again, make sure if you guys are tuning in right now, make sure you like this video and you share it across social media as we continue on with Skylar and learn more about the Monster Truck Insanity Tour. Now, I saw Kenny had a comment there. He said, "Phil, I love that shirt." Oh, if I'm watching live here, I'm wearing a Sanity Tour shirt from the show you guys did up in Las Vegas. He wanted me to ask you who designed it.
That's all Kenny. That's all Kenny. Kenny is, like I said, he's a crazy, crazy artist. And he does things that we literally just pitch a, we have a design that we drew from our most recent women's and girls design that we did on our merch and apparel that we just rolled out last weekend. And it was, he showed up one night after a snowmobile hill climb race. We sketched it out on a piece of paper, had like 5 or 6 or 7 different renditions. And then Kenny takes it home and just draws this thing up in his mind. He's incredible with that type of stuff. It blows my mind what he is capable of. So he actually came up with that, and it was one of those, hey, Kenny, we're doing a show at the Plaza in Vegas, and we need a really cool event shirt, and what Phil has on there, that's exactly what he came up with.
Yeah, it was a good shirt. I don't think you guys had too many of them left, but as my phone rings in the background, that event in Vegas, that was a big deal. I know you guys have a lot of great events all over the place, but that Las Vegas, you're in downtown Vegas. You're at the Plaza Hotel. How'd you even get there, and what was that like for you? I feel like that's got to be a big marquee event.
It was, Phil. It was a super, super cool show to do. We'll put it as a cool show. We didn't come out on it financially like we had hoped or expected, but we also learned a lot of lessons down there. One of those things is the night of the first show or the second night, whatever night it was, when I pulled up Vegas events that you could buy tickets for, there was 110 other events that night in Las Vegas. And so we were a very small fish in a very, very big pond as far as entertainment goes. And so, you know, we learned a lesson on that end of it. But we also knew a little bit of that going in, and we wanted to utilize that downtown Fremont Street location to our advantage. There it is right there. You got Wicked and Vendetta parked underneath the dome there. That's right at the west end of Fremont Street. And if you're looking at the plaza, here's something that a lot of people don't know. Just to the left, to the south of that, is where they built a rodeo arena right there in the middle of their parking lot. So how it all came about was my wife and I had found out about this arena. There's some cool pictures there. Got all the Utah boys lined up. My wife and I found out about this facility, and we drove down to Vegas one day, and we started banging doors and seeing who we could find and talk to. And it turns out the gal that runs the facility, it actually grew up about 30 miles away from me, near my hometown. So we got a hold of her and started talking about, we actually went down there to do a zombie hunt. That's what we were looking to do, was see if we could find a place to do our zombie rampage hunt in Las Vegas. And it went from, and we did get to do the zombie hunt as well, but we went from the zombie hunt to talk about a monster truck show. And then we met with them again, and logistically it looked like it would work. And so we went out there and did it, and zero regrets whatsoever. What a cool experience to be right down. We drove the monsters right down Main Street, right to the end of Fremont to get them out underneath the dome and stuff. Such a cool experience. I wish we had, I think Kenny probably has some videos of that type of stuff. And we probably need to recap a video from that year, that time, but, so much fun, great experience. And we'd like to go back. You know, I don't know that it would be at that facility. If there was another location there that we could come to terms on to bring motorsports in, we would definitely be interested. Especially as we're getting more work down south, it's still something that's on our radar for sure.
So I heard you mention something about a zombie hunt. So what's the story behind this whole zombie hunt thing?
So the zombie hunt, was one of the weirdest, craziest ideas that we've had. And it's honestly turned out to be probably one of the best. And how the whole thing came about is years and years ago, Scott Anderson. So Scott Anderson, everybody in the monster truck world knows him. Absolutely love the guy to death. One of my dear friends, and he helped us get this entire program, the monster truck side, up and off the ground. And for that, I'll forever be grateful to Scott. He helped us get things going. He had this idea, years ago, he had this idea to do a monster truck ride thing, spook alley. And he did it. He did it in some sort of an old junkyard somewhere up here in East Idaho, if I remember right. And we had been, at the time, we had gotten burned on some October, some early fall shows with weather mainly. We did shows in October and got snowed on the morning of. And we were looking for something that was kind of that seasonal catch, you know, that we could just kind of peel out of the show side of it and do something that was a little more, you know, related to a holiday or something. And so the first year that we did it, we actually did, we called it the Monsters of Idaho Falls Spook Park. And it was a ton of work. I mean, a ton of work. There's a photo of the Bubba there and some of our zombies. I think that was actually downtown Vegas right there too. But we decided to take a full-size school bus, get it up in the air, put 66s underneath of it. And then inside of that bus, there is a paintball gun mounted in each one of the windows. And you get on board, you straddle your seat, you grab your gun, and the bus drives around into what we call a hot zone, which is we have decorated with old stuff, cars and old dumpsters and tires and culvert, pipe culvert and farm equipment. We have a tractor in our one in Southern Utah, all sorts of stuff like that. And we have real actors that are dressed up as zombies that are in those scenes, and the bus drives out and you grab your gun and you shoot paintballs at these actors that are moving around. And we built the bus right there in that picture. We call that one the OG. That's the original gangster, the big black beast. That one was the very first one that we built in-house. And Spencer Pancarian, we'll talk more about him. My main man, this was in Craig Christensen's head. And Spencer talked to him. We never built a monster truck before. We didn't know anything about that. We'd done pulling trucks and we were snowmobile guys and quad guys and stuff. We didn't know anything about a monster truck. So Spencer talked to Craig, and Craig said, well, I haven't built one either, but if I was going to build one, this is how I'd do it. And so that bottom bus has a cradle and a full four-link suspension. It rides on airbags. And then the bus in the top picture, that is the second bus that we built. And we simplified things a lot on it. It has a spring suspension underneath of it, but they run the big Clark rear ends on them with planetaries and whatnot. They have the four-wheel steering. The insides of them, it's completely military themed. So Kenny has put together an awesome kind of an intro and a soundtrack that plays inside the bus when you get on board. And it's awesome, man. It's awesome. And Brittany's sitting over here, and she told me from the very beginning, we didn't make a lot of money the year that we decided to build the bus. And I said, look, I think that we could pull this off. It's going to take a lot of money to do it. We don't really know what we're doing, but I think we can do this. And I think this might be cool. And she's like, this is probably the dumbest idea ever. And I'm like, you're probably right, but we're still going to try it anyway, because I think it might be worth it. And so with her blessing, we dumped all the money that we made that year into building the first bus and putting this whole spook park attraction together. And Scott was part of that spook park. He actually had the paddy wagon ride truck. We did have a drive-through themed deal with the monster truck. And then Wally Turner brought up the Hitman, the old Hitman ride truck, and we had a kids zone, and you could go on board the Hitman and go for a ride, just a regular ride. And then we had the monster bus that had the zombie rampage bus that had the paintball guns in it. And so it was a massive undertaking. And since then, we've just scaled it down to just the zombie rampage stuff. We just do the bus. We learned the other monster trucks, having them there are super cool, and it definitely is a draw to bring people in. But if they have the choice between just riding in a regular monster truck or riding in a monster truck bus that has a gun in the window and real people to shoot at, everybody's buying a ticket to the bus. So we took off from there. So we built the second bus. That second bus is actually in Kansas City right now. It's headed to St. Louis next week for the convention. And then the black bus is still sitting in St. George, and our great, great friends, the Petro family, with the Believe Pulling Team, Believe Pulling Sled, they're out of Eastern Oregon. They actually have a bus. They come over and said, we want to build a bus. And I said, there it is right there. Take a look, see what you guys think. And like, they built this thing overnight. I swear it would just happen like that. It was crazy. But their bus is built. And then our third bus is actually sitting at the shop right now. It's painted the interior. Andy's been crazy production DJ. Andy's got enough sound system in this thing to literally knock the bus on its side when you turn the volume all the way up. And we have, I don't know how, I'm not going to say how many 66 inch tires and wheels we have, because not all our monster truck guys want to blow us up and try to buy them from us. But we have quite an assortment of tires, wheels. I think we have 6 or 8 rear ends, planetary rear ends that we've been collecting along the way. So it's ready for suspension, and we go out to a convention called Transworld in St. Louis next week, and the red, white, and blue bus is going to be inside the downtown St. Louis Convention Center as part of our booth and our display, and we'll actually go out there and we'll sell these as complete packages to haunted attractions, and they'll incorporate it into what they already got going on. So it's a cool deal, man. It turned out to be such a cool deal, and so many people were involved behind the scenes, but Spencer is the one that that literally Spencer and my dad, and those two, I thought they were going to kill each other before it was done, but long hours. And I mean, like almost every hour of the day, getting these buses built and finished to get them out to the attraction on time. And we went out on our first load and everything worked flawless. I mean, it was that cool how everything worked out for us. So a lot of fun, definitely a cool seasonal deal. We also do spring break hunts with them. We've started to do them in the county fairs, as you know, if they got a week long fair, the zombie hunt comes into the fair for the entire week and things like that. So cool idea. We didn't think it was cool, but man, it turned out to be such a cool deal and such a blessing for us, for the company.
Yeah, very unique ideas, and I know you had a lot of unique guys helping you there. I know you mentioned Scott Anderson and Craig Christensen. A couple guys have been trying to get on here, so you guys are watching. You know where to find us. But I know one of our other past guests are in the comments, Russell Steely, and you know, truck pull guy himself. He says, do you plan on running any pulling events in Northern California?
You know, probably not. We would love to be honest with you. It would be a whole lot of fun. And I actually, now that you say Russ's name and I put two and two together, I remember Russ's truck. I think you follow him on Facebook, and I seen, if I remember right, it was like a pro stock four wheel drive or a modified four wheel drive or something like that. But probably not for us. One is we pretty much stay out of California, period. We have been to California and taken our trucks down and pulled with a couple of the really great clubs that are down there. And we just, at this point, we don't have the time to take our own trucks and do a whole lot with them anymore, as busy as our schedule is, which sucks. And I know my dad's at home watching, and this is, truck pulling is what he loves. And one day we'll get back to being able to do more of it. But right now, the both trucks are sitting in the race trailer. The engine's completely out of the blown, or the super modified two wheel drive, and the four wheel drive doesn't have an injector head on it. We sent everything off, got everything freshened up for this year, and we'll be lucky if we problem pull them out of the trailer two or three times at most this year, which sucks. But we'll get back to it when we get things, you know, up and get this company grown to the level that we want to be at, and we can just kind of just keep things steady from there. We'll get back to a bunch of truck and tractor pulling. It's in our blood. It's never going to go away. We love doing it. But venturing too far out away from the house with the pullers, probably not in the cards right now.
So I got to ask, how did you come up with the Live Little Productions name?
That's another fun story. So way back in college, I went to school at Utah State University, and I was big into snowmobiling. I would literally schedule my classes to be 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, so we could go snowmobile the other 5 days of the week. And I had a couple of really good buddies back then. Jacob White was one of them, and Bryce Bingham, and my buddy Brooks West. And it kind of turned into, I think Jeff Foxworthy does that deal where like he bought a fishing pole, and then his buddy bought a boat, and then he had to buy the entire bait shop. That's how Live a Little started. Was we would buy we would think we wanted this snowmobile, and then everybody would be like, let's live a little and let's go to the next one. And then we'd buy that. And then it was, well, you're not really living a little until you put nitrous on it and those types of things. And literally that's where it started. And the name stuck with us, as I left college and all the way through the United Truck and Tractor Pullers days. And then it just turned into, this is what we want. I think on the team that it's a great name for the company. It's just kind of one of those things that we just say every day and don't really think about it. But that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we want our spectators and our fans to come out as. We want to come out and truly enjoy, you know, their time and live a little and forget about whatever crazy things are going on at home or in life or whatever else is in general, and just come out and have a great time with us. And be able to get out and live. So it stuck with us. It'll always be with us. And we're really fortunate that that's the name we came up with.
Now, for some of the people on the outside, or maybe just can't put two and two together, what is the biggest difference between Live a Little Productions and Monster Truck Insanity Tour? How does that dynamic break down?
So the Monster Truck Insanity Tour is Live a Little Productions. So all Live a Little is the parent company. Monster Truck Insanity Tour is just a subsidiary that runs under that tour name. We also have the Live a Little Freestyle Moto Insanity Team, the Live in Concert Series. We do, our derbies are called All American Throwdown. So all of those are just names that we use to brand our events, but everything runs under the Live a Little name and the banner.
That's a good differentiator. Now, when you're looking to bring an event to a venue or some production, what is it that you look for? You know, venue size or the town, you know, what goes into bringing one of your events to a town?
Sure. Great question. A lot of it is the market to start with. I mean, is the market big enough to, you know, to sustain, you know, the number of ticket sales that we need to get, that we need to, the number of people, I guess, that we need to put into a facility. So that's one of the biggest things. You know, a lot of the other things we try to stay away from is if another event company or promoter has already done shows in that area, I mean, is currently doing shows in that area. If they've done shows before and they're not doing it anymore, anybody in the game will tell you that's free game right there. But we try to stay away and keep our distance at least far enough away from those guys that are already doing those shows. I wish a lot of our competitors would feel the same way, and that's a story for another day. But evidently right now, East Idaho is a really hot place to do monster truck shows. We'll leave it at that. But nonetheless, we don't want or harbor any ill feelings towards anybody. I just got to make my jabs like everybody else would. But we look for, you know, that market size, the floor size, you know, to see if there's any local sponsors or some local support that we can get from that town. And if all those things, you know, line up and it's the right place, then we go for it. We're not a large market company. We've carved a niche in the small to medium sized markets. We honestly don't do any shows in cities much bigger than Salt Lake City Metro. Just because your costs go up exponentially, your marketing costs, your actual venue costs, your event costs, and we seem to just fit in better in the small to mid markets. So we keep our costs down and we still get, we can fill a lot of these places up. And those are that's what we prefer, to be honest. It's more in your face. It's more personal. It's our fans, I think, really, really enjoy that. You know, we get a lot of people that come back after coming to one of our shows and tell us how great it was, to the interaction between the drivers in the crowd, the announcer in the crowd, and that they really enjoy that a whole lot better than you know, the big name shows that come to some of those big, big markets. So, so that's pretty much, yeah, in a nutshell, what we look for. And like I said, if all the parts and pieces line up, then we give it the green light. And now's probably a great time to intro a lot of guys. Everybody in the monster truck world right now knows him. He hails from Arkansas. His name's Caden Berry. He worked for Feld for several years. And in the off season this year, a good friend, Mike Christensen. It's a good thing Mike's running tonight, because the comments section would be ridiculous if Mike was in the comments section. I do have my Vendetta shirt on, though.
Yeah, you can't see. Bowman shirt.
Yeah, you have Bowman shirt too. Yeah, that's another story. excuse me. Anyway, where was I headed with that? Oh, Caden, sorry. So Caden has, in the off season, Mike hooked me up with Caden, and we had some great conversations, and Caden says, you know, I want to get back into the game, but he wants to be in more of that family, that team atmosphere, and he jumped on board with us. So Caden is actually the guy that is out looking at these new venues and finding these new spots and doing a lot of that homework and research for us, which we're so, so grateful for, because we literally run out of time for much expansion, you know, for the company, because we just get so ingrained in the shows that we already have and what's the next stop on down the road. So Caden is an enormous asset to our company, and we're super, super excited for what he's going to bring over the next several years.
Yeah. Another asset being Kenny Eggleston. He's in the comments. He says, this is a good question. What is the reason you do events?
For all the riches and the glory, right, Kenny? Isn't that what we all do this for? Honestly, man, it's what we've talked, that it's, we're entertainers. We love the entertainment business. And that's, I think that's what's made us so successful. I really do. In the beginning, when we went out swinging for the fences, it was a financial motivator. You know, we're going to go get rich off of this deal, right? That's everybody's game plan when they start a company. That's what everybody thinks is going to come next. And I can tell you that it's not always that way. It definitely wasn't that way for us. And so we built it up from there, and then it turned into, you know what, this is, this, we want to do this because it's making people smile. You know, it's making people smile, and we're taking them out of their daily lives. And I'll be the, and maybe other people have talked about it, but if you're a monster truck driver, if you're a guy that works on the floor, if you're a person that's even back selling merchandise and things like that, it takes all of us out of our daily lives for that 2.5 hours that show is going on. And that's the honest to God truth. Like we all need that break from reality. And especially after, you know, 2020 and the four letter word, whatever you want to call it, that pretty well, you know, shut down our entire industry. I like to tell people there was essential, there was non-essential, and then there was us. We were the step below non-essential, our entire industry. And a lot of guys were very fortunate. A lot of guys weren't able to get out and do shows last year. And a lot of guys still aren't doing shows this year. And a lot of that's based on the markets that they're running in. We're very, very fortunate that we've positioned ourselves in these smaller markets, more of these rural areas where things are opening up. We were able to do a 3-week zombie hunt just because that particular attraction is a socially distanced type of an attraction, less than 50 people at a time. Type of a deal. So it's been a blessing for us to be able to get out and go back to work and do those things. So but that's pretty much in a nutshell. We love what we do, and we get to do it as a team. We get to do it as a family. My gorgeous wife Brittany, I was gonna use the Ricky Bobby line. I was gonna say my smoking hot wife Brittany, and she is so. And my beautiful daughter and my son, Maverick. My daughter's name is Mayhem. She was born in 2020, and Mayhem was the perfect fitting name for what we do and for a baby that was born in 2020. And then my stepson, Maverick, we love going out on the road and doing it as a family and doing it as a team. My dad, he's 63 years old. He comes to every single show. He supports everything that we do. He's the grumpy old man in the pit area with the waiver sheet and the pit passes. He's the guy that you don't want to piss off at one of our shows. He's probably the only guy you don't want to piss off, to be honest with you. But we get to go do it as a team and as a family, and there's no better feeling than that. And when I say family, I'm talking about everybody that goes up and down the road with us. That's our family at Live a Little.
Another piece of the family is the man of many nicknames, the Dunkster, the Mav, the Dunk. What's wrong with Dunkster? He says, what are some of your guys' favorite shows to do?
That's a great question. And it's funny because last weekend when we were in Duchesne, it's a awesome indoor facility. We don't get to do very many indoor shows. Most of what we do is outdoor stuff. I think on the tour this year, I think it's the only indoor show that we're doing. And I made the comment to the people that run that facility out there that truly is one of our new favorite spots. You know, maybe it's because it's usually our first show of the year. The people at the facility are phenomenal to work with. And it's a small town. Like if you look Duchesne up on Google Earth actually responds with, are you sure that you want to look up Duchesne? And most people don't even know how to spell it anyway. Very small town, but it does have some supporting towns that are, you know, within 30 minutes to an hour's drive from there. And the people come out for it. And that's such a fun venue to do. We obviously love our hometown stuff. Hometown shows are a ton of work, very, very stressful, very difficult. They're probably the hardest shows to put on, but the most rewarding at the same time too. So we do love our local East Idaho or Idaho Falls stuff. I mean, we've run in some awesome venues. Utah State Fair Park, they just built a new 12,000, 14,000 seat facility there. Huge arena, 360 degree seating, 35 foot video walls up on top. Awesome facility to run at. So we have our favorites, but as we're going up and down the road, we the next town that we're headed to, that's our favorite facility, to be honest with you, because whether we expect the best or we expect the worst, we're gonna be grateful and we're gonna go out and put on a show, and everybody that's there, we're absolutely grateful showed up to buy a ticket to it. So those are our favorite venues.
Definitely a great mindset to have. And looks like I missed a nickname, the Admiral, probably 500 other nicknames. Phil, what you got for us?
Man, I see a lot of great comments here, so we'll bring it back a little bit. Andy Busico says, can you bring back the sloppy nachos?
Brittany says we still have them. They're just called the monster nachos. So it's a branding thing. Anthony knows that. Anthony, the truth be told, Anthony Busico runs our Adrenaline Life Quad Wars side. Another absolutely fantastic group of guys. If you're looking for him at another show, we don't like loaning him out, and that's what we call it because he is our family. But these guys put on an absolutely fantastic show. But Anthony's wife asked me in Duchesne to not sell him any nachos because he's getting a little tight around the midsection. So I think he's actually on his way to Havasu right now. He went down a week early because he must have heard there were some nachos down there, I would imagine.
Another food question comes from DJ there. He says, who is this little old lady that makes your pulled pork? Inquiring minds want to know.
Wait, hold on. Are there going to be is there going to be pulled pork in Havasu? There better be.
I would imagine there is. Unfortunately, we don't get to do the concessions in Havasu. Speedway is doing them, but they'll have all the good stuff. We do have slushies, though. Slushies. It's going to be 101 degrees, I think, on Friday for that show. So slushies will be out right. For sure. Andy comes up with to answer his question, I can't remember what her name is, but it's Little Esmeralda or something, and she works out of a van somewhere down by the river, and she makes the pulled pork sandwiches for us. So, and they're fantastic, and nobody's died from them yet. So overall, it's a win-win.
You got to say that twice. He also asked, is it true you built a mini bike track in your backyard?
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up. What a great question. Yes, when COVID hit, before COVID hit, it was back in October, Kenny, Spencer's boys, Brittany and I, there's a pile of us, went and bought RC trucks, and we didn't have anything else to do. They shut us down in the middle of March last year, and so we brought a skid steer out to the backyard and literally built an entire RC racetrack out there. And then the RC trucks were not good at keeping them in one piece. We would take them to the shows, and when Spence and the boys would get the floors built the night before the show, we would send the RC trucks off of the tabletops and the jammers and the monster truck race lanes, and it was an absolute disaster. So the mini bikes we rolled into, that was also Andy's idea. He came up with the mini bike idea and mini bike madness, which is absolutely ridiculous, and we love doing it with our shows. But we converted the RC track into a mini bike racetrack, and so now we actually own nine, and a big special announcement. We just bought number 10 today. So it's got some ape hanger bars on it. It's got a little motor work done. It's going to be a cruiser. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we do at our shows, we do a two-man relay race that is Le Mans style. The bikes are sitting out 30 feet in front of everybody running, and it's a two-man team or two-woman team, and you run up, get on the bike, and you have to make a lap around the tough truck and the UTV track. And after you make a lap, then you swap and your partner gets on the bike and away they go. And it ends up, it's insanity. The broken pegs, broken seats, broken handlebars. Andy and his partner, Dallin, they not his partner. You're welcome for that one, Andy. His riding partner, Dallin, they KO'd the handlebars on theirs in Duchesne. Brittany broke a peg off before the show even started, so we were out thrashing on them. Brittany says they still won. She's always the champion. Oh, we did. Yeah, we did. Yeah, the county people. We tried to put people from the facilities or the county fairs that we're running at. We put them on a team and let them go out and have fun. But they're just those little Coleman mini bikes. I don't know if you guys have a picture, but they're little podunk, but we've turned them up. They'll do 30 miles an hour or so, and you got to send them off of the jumps. They have literally zero to no suspension whatsoever, so everybody's banged up and beat up. We've actually broke a couple ribs in the backyard. We've had somebody get knocked out. We've had a lot of bumps, bruises, cuts, scrapes. So they're fantastic as far as that goes. We built a snowmobile bike kit that we put on the front of them for the winter, this last winter, and we take them out on the track in the snow and race them out with a ski on the front and the tire on the back. So just totally ridiculous, but a whole lot of fun.
Always figuring something out over there. I know another one of the cool elements that are at a lot of your events, I know he's in the comments, is Kenny Mazak, otherwise known as Mr. Extreme. He's out there just breathing fire, man. Now, how'd you find Kenny, and how much involved is Mr. Extreme in your events?
So Kenny's a crazy, crazy dude. And what's funny about Kenny is, and I love this guy to death. I guess I don't want to speak too much, but he's had some health problems that are, and internally, and the guy goes out and breathes fire on the weekends. And we love him for that. It's incredible. The guy has no fear whatsoever, and he just goes out there and lays it all out on the line. So he's another great addition to a show for any promoter that's out there looking for a fire breather. He's also a stunt man. We talked a little bit after the Duchesne show that he wants to get into some, essentially lighting himself on fire and running through walls and doing car stunts and things like that. So the guy's absolutely off his rocker. And everybody knows it, and it's fantastic because he takes that in stride and really does a good job.
Also got a comment from Mike Minner, and he says, group texting Monstruck teams, good or bad idea?
Oh, worst idea ever. And this just happened 2 or 3 days ago. And I sent the Lake Havasu, the overall site map with contact phone numbers and everything. I send that out to all the drivers ahead of time, and I actually tried to send it not as a group message the first time because I knew where it was going to end up at, and then I went back and I had to add a couple more people to the message, and then when it did send, it went out to 7 or 8 people. And monster truck guys can take the smallest thing and immediately turn it into beyond rated R, I guess, let's just put it that way. And whether it's emojis or actual words or whatever it is, these guys are so comical, and they had a ball with it. Ranger Joe is coming to Havasu, and he was in on the conversation, and poor Aaron Basil, he's only ran with us one time, and he was in on the conversation, and I'm apologizing. Tabitha Pritchard, who's our tough truck gal, her and her husband Jeremy, she was in on it, and I'm apologizing, going, I'm really sorry, I didn't realize that I had actually group texted everybody, but bad idea. Solid advice. Don't group text your group of drivers. That's not a great idea at all. No.
Well, we went over some photos earlier in the podcast, but it's that time again. It's time for Explain That Photo. Gotta love that awkward transition. Here's the vibe. Anyway, let's go into our first photo.
There we go. Man, that was 2015. I believe that was the first year that we did shows, that we did the Monster Truck Insanity Tour. That was in Tremont, Utah. And as you can see, Craig was there in Wicked. And then we had Mark in, I think it was called Lethal Weapon, Boehner's truck there. And then Sam was there in Unnamed and the Rat. I can't remember. I think Scott Anderson was driving the Rat, possibly. In that particular picture, but that was one of the original pit parties. That was probably the second or third pit party that we ever did right there.
Got another one for you.
I'm trying to think of what video. This was actually on Dumb and Dumber. This was the second option that they had for the cover on the DVD of Dumb and Dumber. And I was obviously the dumber, but this was in 2014. Actually, the date on the bottom helps a bunch. That was the first truck pull that we did. We run the Western Grand National Polling Series. That was the first truck pull under that name we did in 2014. The very first year, we just went out and kind of tested the waters. And that was probably Kenny interviewing me after I hucked the blower belt off of my truck or blew the transmission up or something like that. But you can see where we come from. We couldn't even afford track shirts back then. We just literally printed up a couple shirts, and that's what we wore at the shows. That's no BS. That's how we started right there.
This looks like a fun crew.
That is a fun crew, man. That was just last year. That was the first event we got to go back to doing when COVID hit. That was in June, I believe, with our friends with the Believe Polling Team. That was in Emmett, Idaho. And the good-looking gentleman on the left, that's my dad. And the gentleman next to him that's not as good-looking but equally as happy, that's my good friend Jason Gish. He's from over in the Portland area. Campaigns a pro modified four-wheel drive pulling truck. One of my dearest best friends. Love that guy to death. Always will. My beautiful wife, Brittany, she actually, Mayhem is in her belly in that photo. She was 3 months pregnant, 4 months pregnant, something like that. And then on the right, that's my younger sister, Katie, that actually drives the shake and brake pulling truck. And she actually drives the truck. That truck in the background is obviously my two-wheel drive. Katie drives that truck probably more than I do. So that was a super, we just went over to make a couple exhibition passes, just to get out of the house and go. I told Brittany and Spencer and Kenny, I need to go somewhere where we can smell some alcohol fumes and make a little noise, because it was a tough deal when COVID hit. So that was that's why everybody's smiling, because man, we were back in action at that point.
This looks like a fun time.
There he is. That's the Admiral. That was a lot of years ago. That was before I even wrapped my pulling truck. That's when it was all bright yellow and just called Cheap Shot. It was in Ogden, Utah. I remember that. I don't remember. That was probably 2011, 2012, something like that. And my old man, we call him the horsepower whisperer, because he has been around these alcohol injected motors for so long that he tunes everything by ear and by touch. And it's incredible. And I took it for granted growing up, because I just figured our truck always ran good because, I don't know, we'd spend the most money on it, which was never, ever the case. My dad just knew how to build and how to tune an alcohol injected motor. So that's him getting the truck fired up to warm it up. But I think that was at our Weekend on the Edge event, actually, in Ogden. And funny story, just to bash on the monster truck guys a little bit, and I always give them a hard time about it, and especially Mike Christensen and I go back and forth. I was never anti monster trucks. We had that tension, because monster trucks would go out and go out and get a good chunk of money to go out and perform for the crowd. And they were doing it on these, you know, some guys are down to 1,000 horsepower engines, but up to 1,500, you know, horsepower, somewhere in that range. And these guys were the rock stars. You know, everybody knew their name. Everybody wanted to meet them. They were the cool deal. They were the real deal. And this truck here, the Cheap Shot truck, now with the new setup we have, is a 2,500 horsepower blown alcohol engine with the biggest supercharger that we can run in the class, the biggest MSD44 ignition system that is possible. And if we're lucky, we might make $500 a night if we go out and win our class. That's pretty much what it comes down to. And it's almost impossible to win our class, because we run against the biggest, baddest Hemis on earth, as far as I'm concerned, 3,000 plus horsepower. And so there was always that animosity. It was just in fun, but our trucks, we always said, could just rip the entire wheels out from underneath of a monster truck if we hooked them bumper to bumper. But those guys went out and they were the rock stars and had all the fun, and we got to have fun for 20 seconds at a time. So obviously we love everybody now, and it's all in good fun, but that's where that all stemmed from originally.
So we got one more photo, and you mentioned earlier, and it's probably a good thing he's at a show right now. So what's the story behind the bromance with you and Mike Christensen?
Oh, Mikey. You know, Mike ran for us a little bit. He would drive one of Craig's trucks every so often. He drove for somebody else that ran for us a little bit too, and we'd only see him very, very little, and this was a lot when he was running for Jimmy and stuff, you know, out mostly in the Midwest and towards the east side of the country. And then when him and Paul, you know, teamed up on Team Throttle Monsters, I've always had a great relationship with the Christensen family. We don't always see eye to eye on everything, but we love each other. Between Mike and I and his dad, Craig, we have such a great relationship that we've built over the years. And it kind of took off. You know, Mike and I, we met on a singles dating site. And so it was just the two of us, and we got these shirts together. And it's a lot of fun. And Mike and I, even last weekend at our Duchesne show, Mike wasn't there. He was actually, he was supposed to be running in Georgia, and something happened out there, and he wasn't able to with the promoter out there. But he, I sent him a picture as soon as the show was over. I had my Vendetta shirt on underneath and said, you know, still representing, brother. And we have one of them crazy good relationships that goes well beyond the world of monster trucks and things like that. So we call it a bromance. I think Paul's the one that talks about it the most, Paul Jensen, but I think he's the most jealous of the entire thing. So Paul, if you want a bromance shirt, I got you covered, buddy. We can get you one. Don't you worry.
So I want to bring up something that happened back in 2019. This was I'd say it's a pretty big deal for you guys. It was in Tremonton, Utah. A backflip attempt. If I'm not wrong, this is the first time there's been a backflip attempt in the Monster Truck Insanity Tour. Tell us about how that went, and will we ever see a backflip in the Monster Truck Insanity Tour again?
You know, that the backflip deal was a whole lot of fun, and I reached out to Wally you know, months ahead of time. And I said, hey, do you want to try this? And he was a little hesitant at first. But Wally's, he's diehard competitor. He's a diehard showman. And that's why he has spots on the Insanity Tour. He loves the crowd. He feeds off that crowd energy, and the guy he'll go out and lay it on the line when it needs to be laid on the line. And he loves doing that, both for his team and for our show. And so we decided let's try this. So we'd never built a backflip ramp. Wally had never tried one, and Wally's chassis is a big chassis, one of the biggest in the monster truck world. Definitely was the widest, I think, of pretty much anybody except for maybe that independent suspension truck. But we didn't know. We went out and the first show, he actually went up the ramp, and the bumper on the back went right into the dirt and pogoed him straight up in the air, and it was kind of a back somersault type of a deal that didn't work at all. So the next day, him, his old man, they went out there and torched the back bumper completely off the truck, made a bunch of adjustments to the shocks and the overall setup of the truck. And we went out, and the second show, he was so close. He was literally within 6 inches of getting it all the way around and back onto its tires, and didn't quite make it. So is it in the future? Absolutely. We definitely have plans that we want to get some backflip and stuff out there on our tour. So don't know when or where yet. It could very well be one of those last minute things. I actually had in my earpiece last weekend at our Duchesne show. I don't even remember. A couple of people got on there and said, hey, go over there and see if Craig will do a backflip off of that tabletop. And I was tempted. I was tempted to go over and see if he would do something, but we don't typically operate that way. We like guys to be prepared for what's coming at each and every show. And so, but it'll definitely happen again. We'll find the right place and time to do it, and we'll get a truck all the way around for sure.
Go big or go home, and whatever Wally Turner and Sniper is at the event. Another great comment came in here from our own Christopher Allen, who's out there holding the fort down at the Monster Truck Hall of Fame. And my buddy Brian Anger had the same question, too. Any plans to come to the Midwest anytime soon? With a huge number of small county fairgrounds and current COVID regulations, the market's pretty big. So what's the big picture look like for the Insanity Tour?
Hey, Chris, welcome, man. Nice to meet you finally. That's a great question, and I'm actually glad that you asked that question, because we have some major expansion plans in work for the company, mostly starting in 2022. We are actually starting a couple things this year. We do have a Kansas City show. We also have a show in Arkansas that we're starting with, and you can kind of see where this is headed. Caden is headquartered there in Arkansas, so without divulging too much information, 2022 will have a Live a Little headquarters east and a Live a Little headquarters west, and we will start started at Arkansas hub and expand out from there. So I know Caden, actually he has a meeting, another Kansas show tomorrow that he's meeting on, as well as another show that's kind of in his backyard over there. And the guy's incredible. I mean, he's on the phone. He's sending emails. He's making stuff happen. He's getting things lined up. And so we really want to make a good first quarter push, both down south here in the west, as well as out in that neck of the woods, and get some early, some early year shows in. So, yes, you will see the Insanity Tour out in the Midwest very, very soon. The Kansas City show is actually scheduled for September 11th. Up there at the right on the Kansas-Missouri border, and then we're going to grow it out from there. So we're in a great position to expand, and we've got the right people on the team to make it happen. And so we're gonna see big things in 22 for sure.
Big things for sure. And by no means are you guys the first promoters or the last promoter. I hate saying that word promoter. I know you've said that, but I like that phrase. Being from down south, working in Florida there. Live event presenter, that's very much something that we would say. But, when you're presenting these events, what makes you guys different? What's the one thing you always tell everyone? What makes you so different than everybody else?
That's a great question, Phil. I appreciate you asking, man. This is where it gets super heartfelt, and proud. We have more pride in what we do than I think probably anybody in the country, at least as much as anybody in the country that does what we do in this crazy industry. And what sets us apart is when we say something, when I'm talking about the family atmosphere and the team atmosphere and what we've all built together, that's beyond 100% heartfelt, man. We love the people that go up and down the road with us. Okay. We love the people that are holding down the fort at home while we're going up and down the road. And we're upfront with people. You know, we go into a venue and our team motto is we leave this venue in better condition than when we found it. And I think a lot of promoters from way back in the old days would probably still be in business and would be beyond successful had they adopted just a little bit of that mentality that prime example, we don't do hardly any multi-year contracts on facilities. And I may be putting myself out there for our competitors to try to swoop in on it, but I'll tell you why that won't happen. Because if we go into a facility and we don't get an invitation back, then we weren't good enough to do that facility 2 years in a row. Okay. Plain and simple. We want to be invited back. We want to go out and make sure that we're taking care of that local community. We want to become a part of that local community. We want the venue people. I would say overwhelming majority of the venues that we run at have become close personal friends. We truly believe that putting your best foot forward, being upfront and honest with people and building the show that we've built, we produce a quality show. I don't know a lot of people that aren't happy with the quality of show that we produce. And I think that goes everywhere from the fans to the drivers to our crew. And everybody would agree with that. We are so, so proud of what we've created and how far we've come and the quality that we present to the masses that shines through in the eyes of the people that we go work for. You know, I'm talking about the county fairs or the venues that we go out and we put on these shows for. So we definitely are set apart that way, and we're more proud of that than probably anything.
Yeah, and I find it so powerful, and, you know, we usually don't like to tell our own personal stuff here. It's about the guests, but when I was out at that event in Las Vegas at the Plaza, you know, I was just mainly minding my own deals, working with the teams, and when I got my armband there and you guys had your driver's meeting, you started the driver's meeting with a prayer, which I've been to a lot of events, but big and small, I've never seen anything that powerful. So that's why I asked that, because I think that's a big differentiator. It's that's the amount of passion and really brings it all back together, what it's all about, and bringing it all full circle.
Absolutely, man. It's a family deal, and we do. Whether we're religious or spiritual or not, we know that there's reason to put it out there to the universe and ask for those great things. And first and foremost is for our crew, our drivers, our fans to be safe, remain safe, you know, throughout the entire show, and on their way home. Like, we think about things like that. That's stuff that we think about. We put out to the universe, and they come true. We make them happen, and so it's a great deal. It's super cool. One of the funnest, the highlights of my, you know, each night when we're out doing a show is asking, you know, one of these guys, whether it's a driver, whether it's somebody on the team to step up and say a prayer for the team and really hunker down. And at that point, all ears are on them. I mean, everybody is there for one reason, and that's have an awesome, safe show and send these people home, you know, with more than their money's worth. So it's a cool environment that we've created. I'm beyond grateful that we have created this, and what a great time to be out putting on shows doing this the way that we do it.
And what a great statement from the Moss Truck Insanity Tour. The future is over before it has started.
I no idea what that even means. She might be sipping on some vodka or something. Oh, she can't comment as herself, is what I'm being told. Oh, I don't know. Okay, all right. Now we know. So it's her first time with Facebook. I set my old man up with Facebook today just so he could tune in and watch this this episode. So that's cool.
We like the comments. It's okay. We need the content.
Gotta love it.
See, another awesome comment just came in here from the Mini Bike Madness Tour. It says, fat guys and mini bikes rule the snack bar.
Oh. Brittany's over here. She's like, I take offense to that because she's our top mini bike racer. And because her and I are on a team, we've lost one race, I think, in in like three, one out of three we've lost. So we're running that 66% rule, but that's Andy, by the way. I got to take away his permission on the Mini Bike Madness page, obviously. Andy, why don't you go ahead and post a picture of you at the ballet? Let's go ahead and do that and see where that goes.
Oh man. So, I mean, you've already done a ton of shows. You already got a couple years under your belt. But I got to know, what's been your favorite moment so far doing this?
Oh man, that's $1 million question right there. And maybe it's not just one moment, but just the family, being able to do it as a family, do it as a team. And that's, you know, immediate family, my wife, my daughter, my son, my dad, my sister, and everybody else that goes up and down the road with us. That's the highlight of the whole deal. And that's my greatest moment is being able to do it with all those great people. And now's a great time real quick. I'll just jump in. And there's a guy that is behind the scenes all the time. And a lot of people don't know him, but he's the guy at Live a Little that gets shit done. I'll go to him with the craziest idea, and say, can we do this? And he'll, we can do this. Just, you know, I'll get you a price together, whatever it is, we'll figure it out. And that's Spencer Pancare. We call him Owen for short. He'll love that. But Spence is my dearest best friend. The guy absolutely busts his ass for every single minute, and every single person that's a part of our team. And he just gets it done. And I don't really know what else to say about Spence. That he when we started this deal, he kind of knew what he was signing up for. We both knew a little bit about truck pulling, didn't know a thing about monster trucks. And when we approached him and said, are you interested? And he's like, yeah, we can make this happen. And we have made it happen. And Spence has been by our side. I Live a Little. There's no vertical hierarchy of anything. We're all on the same level playing field. We work side by side. Nobody is over anybody else. And Spence and I have been able to do that. And Kenny from the very beginning, of going out there and learning and making those mistakes and learning those lessons. So Spence is actually, so Spencer owns the Live and Free Monster Ride truck. So that's how the Live and Free truck and Live a Little are tied together. So he also owns a truck. He's actually on his way, or should be in Ogden, Utah tonight. He gets on a plane at 6 tomorrow morning, flies to Kansas City, gets the red, white, and blue monster bus ready, gets it on the transport Sunday night, and then he follows it to St. Louis, and he'll be in St. Louis Monday morning to unload this bus, get it tired back up, and get it inside the convention center. Then he flies right back to Salt Lake, and Andy and Curtis are going to jump in. They're going to meet him there, and they jump in the truck, and they're headed straight to Lake Havasu Tuesday morning. So the guy is he's nonstop. I love him to death, and I want to give him a shout-out so he knows how much he's appreciated.
Definitely everyone's busy at the Live a Little camp, but I got to ask, you know, I ask this question every show, and I'm curious to hear it from, you know, from someone who runs and helps put together these shows. What advice do you have for someone wanting to get their foot in the monster truck industry?
Awesome question. And the drivers are a lot better suited to answer that, but I can give you a really good insight from the promoter standpoint. And the number one thing for me, at least anyway, and I think probably a few other promoters feel this way, is not promoters, event producers, event management companies, caught myself right there, is that don't come at us thinking that we owe you something, I guess. Let's put it that way. That's probably kind of a harsh way to put it, but when we meet these new guys and guys that are trying to get into the industry and stuff, you have to work your ass off from the bottom up to get, if you want to get to, you know, the point where these elite monster truck guys are. That didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen because you know, they look good and they smell good, and someone's like, hey, you come on over here and let's just throw you in this monster truck and you can have at it. It doesn't work that way. Work your ass off, be smart, be polite, and be grateful. You know, if you're not grateful for the opportunity that you're presented, then you're not going to go anywhere with it. And that's the harsh reality of it, in my opinion anyway. So keep your head down. Good things will happen. You do good things. You make people happy. You continue to push forward and don't give up on the deal. Promoters are looking for that. We can recognize that. We know the people that are out there working their ass off and really want to make it happen. And we know the people that think that they're, I guess, somewhat self-entitled to that position, whether it's on our tour or on somebody else's tour. It's easy to spot the those differences. So put your head down, go to work, and be grateful, and things are going to happen for you.
Got a comment here from the Dunk. I'd love to personally thank my lovely little family for all the years and miles of smiles. You made twilight years of my career more memorable.
Oh, I love that guy. Thanks, Dunk. We appreciate the kind words, man. What an honor and a joy it was to have you, you know, running with us. Huh? And Dunk actually married Brittany and I in Mexico, on the beach in Mexico. The guy is ordained, and it's crazy. But he did such a good job, and we wanted, and it was actually funny because Kenny married us. Announcer Kenny is also ordained, so he married us here at our home before we got on the plane to go to Mexico, and then Dunk actually married us in Mexico. So him and his wife Marge are two of the greatest people that we know, two of the most fun people that anybody will ever meet, and it's a bummer that we don't have him in a truck anymore, but he's going to be around. He'll be around. We'll get him on the microphone. We'll get him in the little clown car or whatever it takes. He's definitely going to do some mini bike racing. So make sure that helmet still fits, and we'll get you out on a mini bike too, Dunk.
Man, he's quickly becoming the most interesting man in the world. But hey, Skylar,
already been.
I know. I always ask this too. When it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
You know, Phil, I want our legacy to be that we did things honorably and we did things the right way. And I've actually never had anybody ask me that question before. And the fact that I could answer that quickly is a testament to how our team honestly and truly feels about this industry and this environment that we're in. This isn't the easiest industry by any means. And Britt said earlier, like, if it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. But we have built our company. We do everything in-house. Concessions, we have our alcohol licenses, we design and print our own merchandise. Literally, we have our own security teams. Literally everything except for the insurance and the equipment that's on the floor to show is in some way, shape, or form organized and set up by somebody from within Live a Little. So being able to continue to do that, and maybe we can teach the industry a couple things. You know what I mean? Maybe it doesn't have to be as difficult and as I don't really know the word to use on this. I'm just trying to keep it, you're trying not to comp. Yeah. I mean, we like to keep things simple. We like to do it as a family. And if when we're all done with this deal, if we can be remembered as the people that did it right and the people that left a good lasting impression in our fans, with our drivers and with the facilities and our sponsors that support us, every single year, That's a good enough legacy for us, and that's what we're proud of.
Love that response. But it's time to talk about the future and what's next for Live a Little Productions and the Monster Consania Tour. And actually, next weekend, Phil and I are heading to Lake Havasu. So what's the story behind you guys getting that Lake Havasu show at the Havasu 95 Speedway?
Havasu is such a blessing. And long story short, I've been trying to get into Havasu for several years, and we could never make any headway. And Caden came on board with us, and I gave him the list of venues that I wasn't able to get in. And he said, I know a guy. And lo and behold, Mark Schrader, who lives in Havasu, lived there for the last 11 years. Caden and him had a great relationship from the Feld days. And he called up Mark, and Mark said, yeah, let me go talk to the guy at the Speedway. I know him very well. So Mark went down there. Talked to the track owner and got back to Caden, and Caden says the guy's interested. So Brittany and I got in the car and we drove to Lake Havasu and we met, huh? Oh yeah. That's a matter of fact. It was our baby girl's first road trip all the way to Lake Havasu, which is 14 hours from here or something like that. And we went down there and we met Mark and his awesome wife, Sue. We met him for breakfast. Never met Mark before besides real briefly at a pit party at World Finals. And we said, look, here's who we are. And he had already vouched for us just because of his relationship with Caden. Said, here's who we are. And he says, look, you ready to go meet the guy at the track? I said, let's go. So he took us out there and we sat down and visited with him for a while and toured the facility. And Mark vouched for us, man. He He literally didn't know. He'd heard about us. He knew Caden very well, and he didn't know much more beyond that. But he vouched for us, and the track owner says, I have guys blowing up my phone to try and get into this facility, and I'm going to let you guys come in and do it. And what a tremendous opportunity for us, and we're so grateful for Mark for putting in a good word for us. And he's actually down there. I'm sure him, Aaron and Darren Basil, with the Devastator, they're down at Mark's place right now. They put a new body on this week for the Havasu show. Tomorrow night, Aaron's doing the little exhibition there at the Speedway, which is going to be super cool and sell a bunch of tickets. But we are actually, Saturday night is within 100 tickets have sold out already. And that's something to brag about. You know, that's a show that's a week away, and this has never happened to us. So Saturday's almost gone, and I think there's only 400 or 500 tickets left for Friday, and I expect that they'll be gone by probably by Monday or Tuesday at the latest. So what a super cool deal, man. And Lake Havasu, Brittany and I are beach people. We love to go to Mexico and hang out on the beach and go to the lake and stuff. And such a cool opportunity. The worst part is that Brittany and I don't get to go enjoy it because we're going to be in St. Louis at a convention. But the boys are ready, man. They're chomping at the bit, and they're going to make a hell of a show out of it. It's going to be an awesome weekend. Our crew and drivers are flat ready for Havasu, and I'm excited for it.
I know we're excited for it as well. Definitely awesome to see you guys get some new shows. So after Havasu, what's on the table for the Moss Truck Insanity Tour? Got any new show dates, or what's up with that?
Yeah, so after Havasu, we hit a couple of our biggest shows of the year. We do our Tremont and Utah show, and then we come up here to Idaho Falls the weekend after that. Our website is liveandlittleproductions.com, and we slowly update the schedule. I don't like to go throw everything out and reveal all our entire hand right up front, so we slowly add some dates to that. But after that, we from pretty well now until first weekend in November, we have Memorial weekend off and 4th of July weekend off, and that's it. Not all of it is monster trucks. We, like I said, we do our freestyle moto shows. We have a couple derbies and concerts thrown in there. We're very diverse on the types of shows that we do. Couple mud drag races, which are super cool. We really enjoy having our mud guys run with us. So we hit the road and we literally don't stop. We have the first couple weeks in November off, and then we're releasing a new Christmas themed attraction that we've never done before. That'll be here in East Idaho this year, and hopefully many places next year. But that's going to be about a 2 month run, and then bam, we're right back into first quarter with both the West Division and the Midwest Division. So we're busy, man, and COVID allowing, that we get to keep all the shows that are on the schedule, and I really think that we will this year. I think it's going to be a bang up year for all entertainment and all motorsports, especially.
Well, we love it. I saw a comment here. Terry Wilcox said he did a Lake Havasu 1992. So go figure, Terry.
That's impossible. Terry was born in 94. There's no way he did a show in 92. That doesn't make sense at all. Terry, I love you, man. It's good to hear from you. Hope things are well. We love that guy. As far as the coolest guy in monster trucks, Terry Woodcock takes the cake, and I think probably 99% of people agree with that. He's the coolest dude in monster trucks by far.
100%. And the crowd wants to see the baby before we send you home here.
Well, Kenny wants to see the baby.
Her name is Mayhem. She just turned 6 months old, but we call her Hemi for short. That's a motorsports thing. I figured I might not ever get a Hemi engine, so at least I'll have a Hemi baby. There she is right there. Say hi. Come on in. Vinny's a little camera shy, which is rare, but there she is. She's a sweetheart. We absolutely love her to death. And it sucks that COVID would put a damper on our plans for last year, but this came from that. And what a blessing, man. This is so freaking cool.
Well, that's the future of the business right there. And Skylar, I tell you, you guys have a lot of cool things planned for the immediate future. I know we're going to see it firsthand next week in Lake Havasu City, and we're very excited for that, and we're excited to see you guys continue to grow, and hopefully we can be along for the ride with it. And it's been a lot of fun having you on here tonight.
Definitely. Thank you guys so much. This has been so much fun. We, like I told you, we don't get a lot of opportunities, nor do we really reach out to anybody to tell our story. So I thank you guys for your time. Everybody, I I'm actually a little nervous to go back through the comments and read the rest of them that you guys didn't read off, but we'll get back to that and see how that goes.
Well, there's a lot of them. Have fun with that.
I would imagine. Love all you guys, everybody that's part of our team, drivers, mini guys, tough trucks, side acts, you name it. Every one of you guys mean the world to us, and we sure appreciate you all.
Thanks for coming on tonight, Skyler.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good night.
Awesome. Thank you, Skyler. And for a programming note, guys, we're going to be in Lake Havasu City next week. We plan on going live with a podcast episode live in Lake Havasu City. So make sure you stay tuned to that and see who we can sit down with us and have some fun out in Lake Havasu City. It's going to be pretty hot, so hopefully the laptop doesn't overheat. So
we'll try to work that out. We'll go over the forecast here for a minute. Friday night or Saturday night, it's going to be 103 degrees, so have fun with that. But if you are going to be in Lake Havasu, send us a message. We'll see you there. It's going to be a fun time, and looking forward to more good times at actual shows. We're very excited that shows are finally back on our part of the country. So, Phil, it's going to be a good time, and we'll keep pushing on, I guess.
Whatever. Hey, listen, you guys like this video here tonight? Well, once again, thank everybody, Skyler, Live Little, and Insanity Tour for being on board here. They've been super supportive, and I think a lot of almost every competitor that Skyler's had over the years on his tour have been here on the podcast. So make sure you go check out some of our past episodes and check up on those guys as well. We had a lot of fun with them. And if you enjoyed tonight's episode, again, make sure you like this video and you share this video all across social media where it'll sit in our archives for the test of time. So anybody can come in here and check out Skyler's story at any time in their convenience. And also, we have all these audio only. So wherever you're on the road, at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pandora, iHeart, Stitcher, wherever you can find the sound, you can find our podcast. We are the most downloaded Monster Truck podcast out there. We want to keep that reputation going, so make sure you check us out there. And make sure you like our Facebook page as well. That's where most of our updates are on. And make sure you follow us on Instagram. Try to stay up to date. So, again, make sure you follow us on what's going on and plan on going live next week in Lake Havasu City at the Monster Truck Insanity Tour with one of the drivers, hopefully. If not, we'll find somebody.
I have a question for you, Phil. Yeah. Will that be at our usual time for the people watching home?
No. So if you're watching us in whatever time zones, it's usually 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, tonight 7 Mountain. We're looking to do 3 o'clock Havasu time. So that's 6 o'clock on the East Coast. And down the line there, so 4 o'clock on the mountain time. Of course, that's subject to change. You know, it's a live event, so I don't want to run nobody over. But again, make sure you stay tuned to the page there, and we'll try to bring you some live content and really be in the thick of things with all the drivers. So it'll be a lot of fun next week.
Yeah, lots of posts coming up your way, and next week going to be a busy week, and that's for sure. And we'll see you next week.